Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord and Savior sent us the Holy Spirit, knowing the frailty of humans. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of those who receive the Lord and awakens them to transform, overcome the world, and guides them toward heaven. The Holy Spirit works as our helper. Like the sermon's title suggests, through the inspiration, influence, fellowship, and fullness of the Spirit. Last week, we looked at the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit helps experience the spiritual realm depending on the amount of truth in your heart. In the spiritual realm, there is no flesh nor sin, only peace, joy, and gratitude. When we're filled with the fullness, things we once thought were too difficult or impossible become possible. People we once hated or couldn't understand now seem lovable and understandable. When we live in the world, there are so many worries and, you know, anxieties in our lives. But when we believe in God, we can have faith that God will solve everything. But some of us only have knowledge, not true faith that God will solve everything. And we have doubts. But when we are full of the Holy Spirit, all of these worries and anxieties and doubts, they all disappear, and believe from the bottom of your heart that all things will become possible. And when you do have this true belief, then your problems can be solved easily. Sins we were unaware of become clear, and hope for heaven grows stronger, which makes our life, our faith life, easier. But this doesn't mean that the untruth in the heart is completely discarded. You know, what's important is repentance. Repentance, you know, sometimes it's easy when we apologize and repent for something that's happened straight away. But what's difficult is when we don't repent straight away, as we don't realize what we've done is wrong or sin. And then after, you know, time passes, whether it's 10, 20 or so years later, you don't remember the sin that you had done back in the day. And or even if you might remember, you might not think of it as that bad, and you don't repent. So we need to look back on ourselves and think, if we pray for something or ask for prayer and we don't receive our answers to our prayers, don't be discouraged, don't be annoyed, but look back on yourself and think and pray and reflect upon whether there are some sins in the past that you have not repented of. Don't look at other people and how other people are receiving answers already. Look back on yourself. I heard a testimony one time. This was a person who was about 50 years old. And that this person suddenly remembered of their sins that they had done when they were a young child. And by remembering their sin that had happened like 40 years ago, this person remembered that they had stolen certain items and was able to fully repent from the heart. And of course, this is not simply a matter of just stealing. You've got other sinful characteristics in the heart that you need to look back on. That from stealing comes from greed and envy. So when you pray, you need to think about how, you know, back in the day, you looked at other people's things and you were envious and greedy for their items because it looked great. Or the times where you took your friend's toys and items because they looked beautiful in your eyes. So when you're able to look back on yourself and completely realize through the Spirit all of these sinful characteristics, then you can fully repent from the heart, which means you can receive answers to your prayers as well. So when you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you don't have, you'll live a spiritual life, a spiritual faithful life. But of course, this doesn't mean that the untruth in the heart is completely discarded. Just like I said last week, they're simply inactive and dormant. So of course, if you've got truth in the heart that's about 10% only, it blows up like a balloon and it feels as if your whole heart is completely full of the Holy Spirit, as if you don't have any untruth in the heart. However, you still do have the untruth because it's not completely casted off. They're simply inactive and dormant. So when the fullness of the Holy Spirit fades, untruth in the heart reappear. So if you can maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then the benefits to that is getting rid of the untruth easily. But when you're in a space where you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but then it fades, then the 90% of the untruth that's in your heart is still there. It doesn't go away. So every time you go to, you know, an event where you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have faith as if you can enter New Jerusalem and get rid of all this sin straight away because you're full of the Holy Spirit, but once that fades and you're back in the world and you're unable to guard yourself from the world or have self-control, then, you know, that untruth, the 90% of untruth that you already had beforehand in your heart reappears. So you might misunderstand and think, where did all this untruth come from? I wasn't like this. I was full of the Holy Spirit. This means that, you know, you are in a world of illusion in a way. Because just because you are full of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you have gotten rid of all your untruth. So the more untruth is present in the heart, the easier it is to lose and fail to maintain the fullness of the Spirit. It's important to maintain the fullness. So you must do what pleases the Spirit and reject and avoid what He dislikes to maintain it. For example, if you neglect prayer, pursue worldly things, become irritable, quarrel, and commit sin, then the fullness of the Spirit disappears. When you listen to the Word, read the Bible, praise, and do good acts, the Holy Spirit becomes active. If we are able to maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then we can be sanctified a lot easier. So I hope that you can be full of the Holy Spirit through these messages and maintain it. And in order to maintain that, you must do what pleases the Spirit and reject what the Spirit doesn't like. All the actions that you do, you know, what you see, listen, hear, what you say, you know, every minute of your life, you must think of what pleases the Spirit and what doesn't please the Spirit. What actions do you think will fade the fullness of the Holy Spirit? What actions will, you know, maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit? We must be able to reflect upon these areas and think. So whether you're on your phone and on YouTube, are you watching, you know, the Word? Are you listening to the Word? Are you listening to praise? I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't sin by listening to praise and listening to sermons. It would give you fullness of the Holy Spirit. But if you're on YouTube and you're watching, you know, silly things, worldly things on YouTube, then it doesn't give you any benefits. You know, a lot of our members are so into the news. You know, I mean, it's not that it's bad, but when they're completely addicted to the news, and then you end up judging and condemning the people that are on the news of their wrongdoings. So, and then when you do that, you're, you know, the ability to live in the Holy Spirit lessens and fades, which means you're not full of the Holy Spirit. So when you're not full of the Holy Spirit, perhaps sometimes illnesses or sicknesses come upon you. So you need to think back on yourself. I hope that you can live a life where you're full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you, to be filled with the Spirit, you must pray without ceasing and cry out earnestly. Let's continue with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then look at the other aspects of the Holy Spirit. God pours out the fullness of the Holy Spirit when you earnestly pray and seek His help. Despite experiencing grace, if you lose that fullness by loving the world and living in sin, you must cry out and pray even more fervently for the fullness to be restored. It's like losing your first love. You must strive to regain it. So if you pray without ceasing and then suddenly stop just for temporarily, it doesn't mean that it's extremely hard to be full of the Holy Spirit again when you pray. You just have to put in a bit of effort. And at our church, we say that we have that line of prayer or that rope of prayer. You know, you need to hold on to that rope of prayer. So even if you've got a balloon full of helium, if you don't hold on to that string attached to the balloon, then it'll just flow, it'll fly away. But if you let go of that balloon, but realize that you've let go and jump and grab that string before it completely flies away, then you can hold on to the balloon again. But if you let go of that balloon and you don't jump, you don't do anything, then the balloon will fly away. You'll have to put in double or triple the effort to find that balloon again. So when you are in the world and you're looking at worldly things and you continuously pray, it's hard to be full of the Holy Spirit. So let's say on Saturday you found, you know, a really delicious restaurant. It was far away though, but you purposely found a restaurant because it was, you know, popular and delicious. And you went and ate that. And it was delicious. And so you came back and at night time you went and attended Daniel prayer meeting. But during that prayer, all you're doing is, I mean, you're praying with your mouth, but you're in your head, you're thinking of how delicious the meal was and how you want to go again. So all of these thoughts, they don't give any benefits to maintaining the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is all worldly aspects. And these fleshly thoughts don't help you pray in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So before you, you know, pray, it's important to make sure that you're not too immersed in the world or in the flesh. So when the Bible says to keep the Sabbath day holy, say in the morning of the Sabbath day, you have a big fight with your family, and then you go to church, you're unable to offer up a worship in spirit and in truth because you might be thinking of fleshly thoughts like, oh, you should have said this in the fight, or you should have done this in the fight. This would have been better, or that would have been better. So even though your body is in the church, your thoughts are elsewhere. The same thing in prayer. Your body and your mouth is at church, but your thoughts are not in the church. They're in the flesh. So some people used to say, and probably might say still, that they're in the church and they're praying, but they don't know why they can't pray properly. So you need to look back on yourself and say, are you really praying in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Or do you have fleshly thoughts? Are you thinking of other things, even though your mouth is moving and your body is at church? So in order to not lose that fullness, you must be alert and pray without ceasing. Those with weaker faith should long to attend Spirit-filled prayer meetings in order to grow the power of prayer. And when you're, or if you've lost the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then you should, you know, long to attend these Spirit-filled prayer meetings. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there are more benefits than just growth in faith. One is the fire of the Holy Spirit. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit works is through fire. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it becomes easier to receive the fire that burns away diseases and sinful nature. When I pray for the sick, I pray, you know, for Father God to place His hands from head to toe, you know, through the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this way, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit burns away diseases and illnesses and infirmities. And just like the prayer, you know, sometimes illnesses and diseases and infirmities, they are burned straight away. Sometimes they decrease in size. So similarly, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's easier to receive the fire, the same fire of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's even if you don't receive prayer from a servant of God, you can be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit during your own prayers and receive healings or answers to your prayers. And there have been incidences where people have received fire of the Holy Spirit and been healed of their illnesses or received answers to their prayers. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the next is receiving that fire of the Holy Spirit. To be continually filled with the Holy Spirit can, you know, quicken answers to prayers and growth in faith. So it's important to earnestly long for and cry out in prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So next, what does movement of the Holy Spirit mean? Adam was a living spirit in the second heaven in the Garden of Eden. He had no untruth and was only filled with truth, which meant constant fellowship with God. This doesn't mean that Adam physically spoke with God face to face. Through an open spiritual realm, Adam could hear the voice of God and receive spiritual knowledge taught by him. To have fellowship with the Holy Spirit means to hear the voice of the Spirit, be led and governed by the Spirit in all things. In John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The degree you experience movement with the Holy Spirit differs according to your measure of faith. To the extent you've cultivated a heart of truth. For example, no matter how good a mathematics professor, they can only teach an elementary student at an elementary level. The same applies to teaching a foreign language. Even if the teacher can fluently speak a foreign language, it's no use if the student cannot understand it. The teacher speaks according to the student's level, same with the student's ability to respond. Your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, hearing His voice, and receiving guidance works the same. The Holy Spirit teaches you according to your ability and speaks only as much as you can hear and obey. So, you know, the understanding part, you don't confuse it as if, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you in a different language. It depends, because if you have fleshly thoughts, no matter how much the Holy Spirit gives you guidance and leads you, you're unable to understand if you've got fleshly thoughts. You know, Isaac was offered as a burnt sacrifice. You know, the command that God gave Abraham, if you had fleshly thoughts, it'll be impossible for you to obey, because he, you know, Isaac's your only son, how could you kill him? So if you've got fleshly thoughts, it's similar. You just are unable to understand God's will and the Holy Spirit's will. So the Holy Spirit only speaks to the point where you can understand and obey. The Holy Spirit cannot speak further if you don't understand or obey. So if you've got someone who you hate, the Holy Spirit tells you to love the person you hate. But when you're full of hate in your heart, you don't want to love that person whom you hate. So even though in your heart you've got thoughts and the voice that tells you, love your enemies, you know, do good to those who hate you. But if you've got fleshly thoughts, you might think, how can I be nice to the person who's done evil to me? How can I forgive when they've done evil? If I forgive them, they're going to neglect me. They're going to think I'm little and walk all over me. So all these fleshly thoughts act because you've got the untruth in you. And you don't have the faith or the truth to be able to understand or obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. You either can't or you don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. So don't think that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you. He does. But you're just unable to listen to it yet. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit does speak to you and you don't want to follow. And I hope you can reflect upon yourself and think, oh, there are times when the Holy Spirit did speak to me and I ignored it on purpose because of my fleshly thoughts. So how does the voice of the Holy Spirit come to us? Your heart hears the Holy Spirit as a person, speaking specific things to you or bring to mind the truth of God's word. For example, the Holy Spirit brings God's word, like, give, you know, to him who asks of you, love your enemies. The one who serves is the greatest, to mind in certain situations. So it's almost as if you've got something, you know, buried in the water, and then that item, because it's so heavy, drowns to the bottom of the water, but the Holy Spirit suddenly brings that item back up and it floats. It's similar to hearing the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the voice is there. And other times, there are times when, you know, a lot of people can hear it at the same time. Sometimes the truth is heard in a sermon. And when the truth of God's word is brought to mind, and a lot of people get confused. They don't know if it's really the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they're unable to discern whether what they've thought, whether the thought in their head is the voice of the Holy Spirit. But when you think of God's truth or the word, then that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when, you know, you suddenly think of, give to him who asks of you, love your enemies, serve, then that's the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. I heard of a testimony of a new Christian, a newcomer, who received blessings and answers. But in the family, they didn't have a great relationship. And there are times when there are some difficulties with their business. And, you know, this new Christian didn't have great love for the family and actually had hatred. So once listening to the Word of God after coming to church and listening to the word, a scripture like love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, all of these words kept kind of stabbing at this newcomer's conscience. So with all these words, you know, the subconsciously, all of these words were given by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes this new Christian was unable to obey. This person would argue and say, how can I love my enemy when they're doing such evil to me? You know, this new Christian even thought how God is making his life hard. And of course, you might think that it's natural because you're a newcomer, you're a new Christian. But after a while, you know, continuously listening to this, to the word and praying. And when the Holy Spirit keeps knocking on your heart's door with all of this scripture, asking you to love your enemy, but you know, part of you doesn't want to love your enemy, but then you don't want to hate your enemy either because you've listened to the word. So that's when your good and your evil part of your heart start fighting each other. And when your good side wins, you end up putting your hand out first. You end up calling or messaging the person whom you considered your enemy first and, you know, saying good words. You end up contacting your family whom you hated or didn't like as much first. You end up repairing that relationship. So through this testimony, when the Holy Spirit keeps knocking on your heart's door and you know, stabbing at your conscience to do good, to love, to not hate, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a church worker who testified to me saying that these days their life is so happy. And, you know, I wondered why this person testified in a certain way. But I realized they told me that, you know, in their life, when they're rushed or in an important situation, they end up just blurting out whatever it is that they want to say, probably in a harsh way. But every time that happened recently, they would think of Senior Pastor Soojin Lee's words and would think of God's word. And they would stop from blurting out whatever it is that they wanted to say. They would think more. They would stop and think. And by stopping the blurting out of random words in certain situations, their life became happier. So when you suddenly have thoughts of God's word or scripture, and you just get rid of it, you don't think about it, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I mean, of course, it's not easy to love your enemies, but when you do love your enemies and you listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, you'll prosper. Your path will be solved. Your issues will be resolved. And how joyful would your life be when you lived according to the Holy Spirit? Other times, the Holy Spirit specifically speaks about what you should say or do. Luke 2, verses 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Acts 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." So the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to join the chariot. So the voice of the Holy Spirit can be heard as the truth of God's word coming to mind, or when the Holy Spirit personally speaks on specific topics as a person. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? This is when the Holy Spirit, who dwells within you, gives you the heart or desire to act in a certain way. For example, you might feel the need to pray, fast, help someone, or sense a certain decision will be more beneficial for the kingdom of God. So in your life, and you keep thinking, or you're unable to discern, or you still get confused, or whether this is the voice of the Holy Spirit or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, one of the easiest ways to think of the truth or to find the answer is it truth? Is it good? Is it God's word? If you've got the need to pray, to help someone, to fast, then all of these thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't think that they're your thoughts. Consider it the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so you must obey. The Holy Spirit doesn't say that, you know, you did this all by yourself. I didn't tell you what to do. If it is truth, if it is goodness in the Lord, then that is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are times when, you know, you choose the wrong decision when it comes to business. Say you've chosen a certain decision with your business and it fails, and you say that the Holy Spirit guided you, that's incorrect, because whatever the Holy Spirit guides you in whatever direction, it won't fail. And if certain decisions go against the truth, or they're not, you know, it's not fully black and white, or it's untruth, then that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is not the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You must discern that the voice of the Holy Spirit is only truth. It's beneficial for the kingdom of God. It's God's word. So when you obey and say amen to the true voice of the Holy Spirit, is when there are benefits that come along with it. And of course, don't get confused. Just because someone else says, you must do this, doesn't mean that you have to follow that. You need to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit yourself and feel from your heart that you need to pray, fast, and help someone. You know, people in the world, if they are receiving works of Satan and they have, for example, like a ghost within them or evil spirits within them, then sometimes you'll see in the world that people with evil spirits, they change their voice. They, you know, act as if something is leading them or guiding them. But that would be untruth. As long as you realize that the Holy Spirit within you is truth, is the guidance, is the path that the Holy Spirit is taking you and giving you and leading you, is it truth? Is it fully truth? You know, Father God didn't give us free will in order to not have, make us have free will. We have free will. And You know, some people love receiving commands to do this, to definitely do this. However, Father God gave us free will, so we must be able to listen and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit from within us, and also have the free will to obey, not do so out of, you know, stubbornness. So in your heart, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's not you just thinking. It's not you continuously, you know, contemplating and then choosing in your heart. Father God cultivates humans through the voice of truth. You know, if it is truth, if it is the right way, if it's good before God, then it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul says in Acts 16, verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. This shows that he was being led by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be guided by the Spirit? To walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit means to obey the voice or direction of the Holy Spirit. For example, if you've got an earnest prayer request and in your heart strongly feel that you should make a resolution, you recognize that it's a direction from the Holy Spirit. You obey and pray with all your heart and sincerity. This is walking in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But let's say there's no answer despite the resolved prayer period ending. When this happens, what kind of voice of the Holy Spirit will the one in the Word of God hear? You might remember Daniel's prayer that God had already answered on the first day, but delayed for 21 days through an angel due to a battle with evil spirits. So of course, in order to receive that, you know, big answer that Daniel wanted, there was a delay. And of course, depending on how big your prayer request is, depends on how fast you receive that answer. So for 21 days, the angel fought through from the third heaven all the way to the first heaven to bring that answer to Daniel. So, you know, when you're in a similar situation and you've prayed for a certain amount of time and you don't receive that answer, you think of, you are reminded of Daniel's prayer being delayed for 21 days despite God already answering it on the first day. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt yourself. Don't get confused and think, oh, was the thought just my fleshly thought? Is this truly the voice of the Holy Spirit? Don't waver. And say that you went to, you know, keep continuously praying. You thought of Daniel's prayer, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can have the faith to continuously pray so that God can bring that answer down, so the angel can bring that answer down. And I'm sure many of you have experienced something similar where you didn't receive an answer after a certain amount of time, but continued to pray in faith and received it at the best time. But if you're, you know, think back on yourself and see whether there are times when you prayed for a certain amount of time of your choice, and when you didn't receive the answer, you stopped and gave up. So you might recall, you know, where Jesus gave a parable to show that people should always pray and not lose heart. You might be reminded of Abraham's faith, how he didn't doubt nor waver in God's promise, even after 10 or 20 years, and received the blessing in the end. The Holy Spirit brings to mind the Word of God previously stored through reading and hearing the Scripture. So, of course, in order for the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to mind, you must have the Word of God in your heart, and you must have truth. You must have these sermons in your heart. That means worshiping in spirit and in truth. It means, you know, wanting to listen to the Word and to sermons. If someone is new to a life of faith and doesn't yet know the truth of God's Word well, then it can be difficult to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Or even if you know the Word, you're unable to obey if your faith is weak or lack the faith that truly believes. When you say you're walking an unknown path, you might ask people, you know, is this the right way? Where should I go? How do I get to this place? Do I go left or right? Do I go straight? Until you, even if the person tells you, yes, you need to go right, left, and then go straight and keep turning until you reach this area, you're still not 100% sure. So every time, you know, you meet someone, you check whether you're on the right path, whether you have turned into the right corner, or whether you're supposed to turn left here or there. So in order to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we need to obey. So if the voice of the Holy Spirit is there and telling you what to do, if you don't obey, then you're unable to receive the guidance. And there are no fruits at the end of the road. So check, you know, whether you've obeyed. Because without obedience, there is no guidance. To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and be led by His prompting and guidance is only possible according to your measure of faith. So how do those in the fourth and fifth levels of faith experience communion with the Holy Spirit? The fourth and fifth levels of faith are at a stage where you're in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Communion with the Spirit always takes place. And while both levels hear the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit, the difference is the ability to clearly and deeply discern the heart and will of Father God contained within the voice and direction. And of course, you know, you've definitely heard the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit, but the difference between the fourth and fifth levels is knowing the heart and will of Father God. For example, Acts 21 verses 10 to 12. A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Those who heard the message urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. The prophet Agabus was a man who had clear communion with the Holy Spirit, having previously prophesied a great famine in the world with accuracy. Again, he accurately prophesied what would happen to Apostle Paul, but didn't fully understand why the future events had to happen, why, you know, there had to be belts. Paul, having deeper communion with the Holy Spirit, knew God's will and understood God's deep heart in why certain events had to happen. So, you know, even though with the clear communion of the Holy Spirit and seeing that, you know, Paul will be binded and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, you would think that Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. But Paul, having deeper communion, knew God's will and understood God's deep heart. So even though you've got communion with the Holy Spirit and you see something or you have a vision, you need someone who's got a better communion with the Holy Spirit in order to solve that vision. So Paul responded in Acts 21:13, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So Paul was aware he'd be arrested preaching the Lord, but understood with guidance from the Spirit that this would spread the gospel further and reach more people along with those in authority. This was the will of God. So even if you receive communion with the Holy Spirit and understand God's will, the degree of your perception of God's heart varies according to your measure of faith. So, because of the time frame, we'll have to stop at having communion with the Holy Spirit. We are all children of God who have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in all of us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive salvation. So everyone here has the Holy Spirit within them. And if you're unable to receive guidance from the Holy Spirit, then how unfortunate is this? And if you're unable to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how unfortunate is this? Because you already have the Holy Spirit in your heart. So over 2 hours, we looked at, you know, the inspiration, fullness, movement, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So we can have communion with the Holy Spirit. It's possible in the first, second, and third level of faith. It's not just for the fourth and fifth levels of faith. But if you neglect it, if you neglect the voice of the Holy Spirit, you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, nor obey, then, you know, you're unable to receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. And there are so many people who don't obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you are able to find the ability to obey and listen to the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.